take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Tuesday, March 10th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. So glad you could be here with us today in beautiful Portland, Oregon, looking out at Mount Hood from the Pittock Mansion in our new backdrop on the webcam, if you're watching us, or if you're watching us on our new Vimeo network channel. Oh my goodness, folks, I am so thrilled. I have left YouTube. I've been using my personal Radical Russ YouTube channel for over a year now, years now, I should say, to host the 420 radio videos. And it's just grown massive, this huge library of over 2,800 videos over at Radical Russ. But unfortunately, YouTube has such strict copyright restriction and penalty policies in place, it makes it nearly impossible for me to post my videos out there anymore. So I have moved to Vimeo, this paid service that is pretty awesome. It's vimeo.com/420radio if you want to check that out. It also creates these channels, and I've made a separate channel for every possible segment that I do on the show. So if you're a fan of the Radical Rants, for example, you could go to vimeo.com/channels/RBS Rants. It'll always be RBS for Russ Melville Show. So vimeo.com/channels/RBS Rants or RBS Hemp or RBS News or RBS Chat. There's a bunch of them out there. I think I made 16 channels today. You can check them all out at vimeo.com/420radio. So our videos will be available there. You can embed them, you can share them, and if you really like them, we'll activate the tip jar out there and you can send us some money for them as well. We'd really appreciate it. They're also Creative Commons non-commercial share alike licensing, so you can embed them or add them or use them as part of your creations, so long as you credit me, Radical Russ Melville, and the Russ Melville Show on 420 Radio. All right, let's get to today's show. Lots of great stuff. We've got a Reformers reader to talk to today, and she is the author of Green, The First 12 Months of Modern American Marijuana Reform. Her name is Marguerite Arnold, an American expat living in Germany right now. So we'll talk to her, and she's put together a pretty comprehensive look at the first 12 months of legal marijuana markets in America. It'll be an interesting discussion coming up at half past. Also on the show today, we'll have time to get into a radical rant, and I got something for Kevin Sabet. I've got his big marijuana right here. Yeah, we're going to talk about Kevin Sabet and his reaction to the historic Senate bill for medical marijuana, legalizing medical marijuana at the federal level. You can imagine what Sabet's reaction to that was. Of course, it had to do with big marijuana, the specter that he and Project Sam are always trying to scare people with. We'll break that down in the Radical Rant today and tell you why it's meaningless. Also on the show today, we will have time to get to some drug war data mining, and we've got some more crime statistics from New York City to show the New York Police Department Commissioner Bratton, you know, the one who thinks murder's up because they legalized marijuana out west. Also, we'll have the behind the headlines. We'll take a look at that historic Senate medical marijuana bill and show you the five key provisions of that bill that could change things for more than just medical marijuana. But first, we've got the 420 radio news in the headlines today. We have got Utah defeating medical marijuana, Iowa disappointing medical marijuana, Alaska reviewing laws on recreational marijuana, two medical marijuana bills in Georgia, and am I reading this right? Two legalization bills in Florida? The world is changing, and we'll keep you up to date with it right here on The Russ Melville Show.
You're tuned into The Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest. This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
Funky Roller Room.
What's happening, Groovy Cats? This is your Funk Master of Ceremonies, Big Daddy. And I want you to join me every Thursday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here at the Funky Roller Rink. Your home of soul, funk, and disco, baby.
Funky-licious.
There's always a party at the Funky Roller Rink.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal. Ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, March 10th, 2015. Marijuana legalization got a boost on Capitol Hill on Tuesday as a trio of rising stars in the Senate launched an effort to rewrite federal drug laws. The push to decriminalize at least the medical use of marijuana came from Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky and Democratic Senators Cory Booker of New Jersey and Kirsten Gillibrand of New York. Under the proposal by the three senators, the federal prohibition on medical marijuana would be lifted. States that allow it would no longer be operating in defiance of federal law. The proposal embraces policy ideas from advocacy groups that have long been on the sidelines of Congress, including the Drug Policy Alliance and the Marijuana Policy Project. Utah State Senate defeated a bill 15-14 that would have legalized cannabis use for medicinal purposes. Senators said they're sympathetic to people who could benefit from the drug, but said the issue needs more study. Senator Evan Vickers, a pharmacist, said that even if lawmakers are intrigued with the idea, they should want to do it correctly. The bill's sponsor, Senator Mark Madsen, called medical cannabis a less toxic alternative to addictive opioids and said it would save lives. Opponents of the bill say it puts the state on a slippery slope toward legalized recreational marijuana. The bill would have legalized medicinal marijuana use and production for cancer, Alzheimer's disease, post-traumatic stress disorder, glaucoma, Crohn's disease, multiple sclerosis, and chronic pain. The Iowa Board of Pharmacy disappointed medical marijuana advocates again on Monday. Board members rebuffed a request that they recommend changing Iowa's law classification of marijuana in a way that would make it easier to use the drug for medical purposes. The board, which regulates medication sales, said it didn't want to get involved now. Quote, "This is clearly a political issue at this point," end quote, said board member James Miller, a Dubuque pharmacist. State law now classifies marijuana as both a Schedule I drug, whose use is impermissible in almost any circumstance, and as a Schedule II drug, which could be used for medical purposes in some circumstances. The Pharmacy Board recommended in January that legislators reclassify CBD extract, but not to reclassify marijuana entirely. Activist Carl Olson, who filed the request rejected by the board, said he'll appeal in court as he has in the past. An Alaska Senate committee is considering a new approach to decriminalizing marijuana. The Senate Finance Committee on Monday heard about a new draft of the bill intended to decriminalize possession, growth, and transportation of limited amounts of marijuana for adults 21 years and older. The draft would list marijuana as a controlled substance, but include a non-applicability section that essentially would create an exception to controlled substances crimes for acts that are within the bounds of a voter initiative passed in November. That initiative legalized recreational use of pot. The draft also would still allow for a commercial industry as the initiative intended. The Georgia General Assembly has two radically different medical marijuana bills in front of it. Only one of them would make cannabis oil available soon. Representative Alan Peek's House Bill 1, which overwhelmingly passed that chamber, is pitted against Senate Bill 185. The Macon Republicans' bill would legalize cannabis oil for patients with seizure disorders, mitochondrial disease, cancer, Crohn's disease, fibromyalgia, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, and sickle cell anemia. A bill by Representative Lindsey Tippins, a Republican from Marietta, would restrict access to cannabis oil only to participants in a limited 5-year clinical trial involving people under 21 with epilepsy. It has been approved by a Senate committee. Peek's bill would allow for 20 ounces of oil with up to 5% THC content. Tippins' bill would restrict THC content to less than 0.3% THC. The full chamber could consider Tippins' bill as soon as Wednesday. Two bills introduced in Florida would authorize marijuana to be taxed and regulated similar to alcohol and legalize the cultivation and possession of marijuana by adults 21 and older. Senate Bill 1176 and House Bill 1297, introduced by Senator Dwight Bullard and Representative Randolph Bracey, respectively, would make Florida the first state to legalize marijuana for recreational purposes through the legislature rather than the popular vote, should either pass into law. Under the bills, Florida adults would be allowed to use and purchase 2.5 ounces of marijuana from retail stores and cultivate up to 6 plants and possess all the harvest of those plants at the grow site. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, March 10th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville. Radio, your ticket to the High Times Cannabis Cups.
With over 1 billion people in the world, chances are there's somebody out there just like you. There are software engineers, pastry chefs, artists, and people with medical conditions. And what do many of these people have in common? They use marijuana. It's expected that marijuana will be legalized in California. And when that happens, what will be the biggest concern? Safety. That's where we come in. High Def Transit is a discreet shuttle service that also serves as a mobile vapor room. Members can medicate on board while our certified drivers get you to your destination safely so you can enjoy the ride. So hop in, make friends, and ride safe. High Def Transit.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
Get your tickets now for the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference, March 15th and 16th at the Hilton in Eugene, Oregon, powered by MarijuanaPolitics.com. Former presidential candidate and two-term New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson will deliver the keynote address. Harborside Health Center's Steve D'Angelo will present at the pre-conference VIP reception. You'll also hear from State Senator Floyd Prezansky, New Approach Oregon's Anthony Johnson, Oregon marijuana attorneys Paul Loney and Leland Berger, and Oregon Liquor Control Commission's Director of Marijuana Programs, Tom Burns. Get your tickets at early bird pricing by acting now. Learn more at the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference at ommbc.com. This conference will provide you with a head start for success in the expanding Oregon marijuana industry. Get your tickets today at ommbc.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 14 and a half after the hour. And today in Behind the Headlines, we want to take a look at the Senate Carers Act that was recently introduced by Senators Rand Paul, Cory Booker, and Kirsten Gillibrand. This is notable for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's the first medical marijuana bill to be introduced in the United States Senate. It does follow along with some of the sentiment in the U.S. House right now, where they had introduced that amendment that forbade the Department of Justice from using its funds against state legal medical marijuana. But it's also notable by who are the people sponsoring this bill. These senators, all young senators considered to be rising stars in their respective parties. Rand Paul, of course, the Republican from Kentucky, he's been very strongly pro-hemp as of late and has stood up for this bill, of course. Cory Booker, the Democrat from New Jersey, also known for his rescuing capabilities as well as his fight against mass incarceration and the need for prison sentencing reform. And Kirsten Gillibrand from New York State, also considered to be a rising star. And this kind of gives some sense of where the political winds are shifting on this issue, that the future for younger candidates is going to be in being pro-marijuana. They can see that even 2/3 of the millennial Republicans support marijuana reform, and it's much greater among the Democratic base. Now, in this bill, contains basically 5 key provisions that are very helpful to the medical marijuana fight, but also, I think, to the fight for full legalization. Number one, marijuana would be downgraded one level in the drug classification system from Schedule 1, where it's alongside heroin, LSD, and ecstasy, to Schedule 2. We would move marijuana down to Schedule 2, joining cocaine, OxyContin, Adderall, and Ritalin. Now, I understand people listening to me would say it shouldn't be scheduled at all, does not belong on the schedule. If alcohol is not on the schedule, marijuana shouldn't be on the schedule. But if you're getting whipped 7 days a week and they offer you weekends off, you don't hold off for no whipping at all. You take the weekends off and figure out how to seize the whip. Okay, so let's get it down to Schedule 2, which is still much more strict a restriction. But this is what's going to open up the possibilities of research on marijuana. Peer-reviewed, double-blind research is going to finally debunk so many of the scares and talking points that are used against legalization, much less medical marijuana. Number two, the bill would allow easier transport of these high CBD oils. A lot of these states in the South and the Midwest have passed these CBD only laws that make it so it's legal for these parents to possess the CBD oil that they go to Colorado to get, but it kind of forces them to have to go to Colorado to get it or other states that have it. And this sets them up to be federal drug traffickers. So kudos to this part of the bill for eliminating that possibility of a federal trafficking crime for a parent who's just trying to get CBD oil for their kid. It's bad enough you have these refugee families that have to move to Colorado, uproot their whole life and move away from their families, take their kids out of their schools and move them to Colorado just so one of their kids can live. At least now they could stay home and one of the parents could go and ferry the CBD oil for them. The other three provisions in this bill, the bill would make it easier for banks to provide services to the marijuana industry. This has been a problem ever since the first dispensary started opening, having to be cash only businesses. And if we're really concerned about public safety, we would want to make sure that these businesses have access to the banking services that provide better security and safety for all of us. Number four, the bill would reform the National Institutes on Drug Abuse, that's NIDA, would reform it in order to broaden access to cannabis for research purposes. In other words, NIDA would stop being solely an agency trying to figure out what's harmful about marijuana and actually fund and allow the research and grant access to that University of Mississippi pot farm government weed so researchers could study what's good about marijuana, what's beneficial about marijuana. That's going to help more than just the medical movement. That's going to help all of us fighting for legalization. And finally, and certainly not least, the doctors working for the Department of Veterans Affairs in medical marijuana states would be allowed to recommend medical marijuana for their patients under certain conditions, probably the conditions that are legal in those states. And this is long overdue, especially given what we know about how medical marijuana use can help the soldiers who are dealing with post-traumatic stress and who have also suffered concussions and traumatic brain injuries. Hell, not to mention the neuropathic pain that comes from amputations and severe limb injuries as well. So kudos to these three senators. Contact your senators. Let them know you support this bill. And let's get this through the Senate, signed by President Obama, so that we can help everybody, not just in the medical movement, but in legalization as well.
I know nothing. Nothing.
That's not an excuse anymore, Sergeant Schultz. We have the internet. Being ignorant of marijuana's curative properties in the age of the internet is willful ignorance. Hey folks, it's 420 in the Mountain Time Zone. They're getting their 420 on in Denver. I think we should celebrate their 420 by having our own 420. What do you think? Let's get it on. We'll be right back after this.
420 Radio, turning red states and blue states green.
Are you in the market for portable vaporizers now? Get online to vapes.buzz, the quick and easy link to portablevaporizersnow.com. Vapes.buzz has everything you are looking for, including vape pens, herbal vaporizers, e-juice, parts, accessories, and more. Visit vapes.buzz and use promo code 420radio to get 10% off your online purchase, or just give them a call at 866-264-2415. Vapes.buzz. Get vaping, baby!
Hey, this is Big Daddy, and I want you to know it's never too late to join me at the Funky Roller Rink every Thursday night, right here on 420 Radio.
Funky Roller Rink.
I like it like that.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everyone. 23 after the hour, and earlier last week, I think it was, we rebutted the NYPD commissioner, Bill Bratton, who has blamed a slight uptick in murders in 2015. Again, over just the first 8 weeks of 2015, a slight uptick in murders, and blamed it on marijuana. There was 54 murders through March 1st, compared with 45 the same period, 2014. And he said, quote, "The seemingly innocent drug that's being legalized around the country, in this city, people are killing each other over marijuana." And said it was worse than the cocaine-fueled violence of the 80s and the 90s. And I thought it was interesting and wanted to supply him some other data. And we found some other data to go along with what we showed the last time, because we actually got a hold of the New York City's crime statistics for the city. And for those of you that are watching along in our chat room, we'll get this posted up here for you. It's at nyc.gov, and you can find the link through the left-hand sidebar of their website that was written in the 90s. Anyway, we found the rest of their statistics, something they've got called CompStat. And interesting statistics. It indeed shows that for the year-to-date, there have been 54 murders compared to 45 the year before. That's an increase of 20%. And that is something to be alarmed about. But as far as other crime goes, rape is down Well, it's down 1%. It went from 204 to 202, so it really hasn't changed in a statistically significant way. But the robberies have. Robberies are down 9.3%. About 250 fewer robberies in New York City. Did that have anything to do with the marijuana being legalized? That seemingly innocent drug, I wonder. 15.4% reduction in felonious assault. That's right. About 500 fewer instances of people getting their ass kicked in New York there. Let's see. We've got 20.8% decline in burglaries, down by about 600 burglaries. That's pretty nice to see. We have a 6.6% decline in grand larceny. That would be big, big thefts. And a 4.2% decline in grand larceny auto. You know, car thefts are down 4.2%. So your crime complaints to date in New York City over the first 2 months of 2015 are down almost 11% overall compared to the prior 2014 period of January and February. 16,384 crimes in 2014, 14,618 in 2015. Almost 2,000 fewer crimes. Now, if you look at the lower level crimes, transit crimes, you know, subway crimes, you know, complaints like that, down 20%. Housing authority type crimes, down 11.9%. Petty larceny, small-time theft, pickpockets, shoplifters, etc., down 9.2%. Misdemeanor assault, fights, not quite ass-kickings, but fights, down 4.1%. Now, misdemeanor sex crimes are up 15.1%. But generally speaking, in almost every crime category except murder, rape, and misdemeanor sex crimes, crime is down over these first 2 weeks in New York City. Now, of course, correlation is not causation. It's not because there's more marijuana legalization or less, or more enforcement or less of marijuana that necessarily leads to these statistics. But might there be? Might there be a causation? Might there be a situation where if cops aren't distracted and forced to continue writing up low-level tickets for marijuana possession and doing stops and frisks, that perhaps, maybe, they're deterring other types of crime? I don't know. I can't prove it, but I do know from looking at the police statistics that marijuana arrests are down 62% from the prior period in 2014. Through Sunday, this is according to the New York Times, the Sunday Times, 1,956 people have been arrested for misdemeanor marijuana possession in New York City. About 2,000, 1956, right? The last two-month period, January, February, 5,157. They went from over 5,000 arrests for marijuana in 2 months to just under 2,000 arrests for marijuana in 2 months. Far fewer marijuana arrests, and all the other crimes are down? Interesting, huh? Now, of course, much of this might be attributed to the new non-stop and frisk policy and to actually obey the intent of decriminalization in New York State if people have less than an ounce, to write them a summons instead. So did the summons go up? Nope. The summons stayed just about statistically even. They dropped to 2,059 summons. There were 2,162 last year. So there's about 100 fewer summons for marijuana as well. Interesting statistics for New York Police Department Commissioner Bill Bratton. If he wants to start blaming marijuana legalization for some of those, we're listening.
420 Radio. Tune in, turn on, get high, Lee educated. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
The best weapon you can have in the Prohibition War is your mind. Fill your head with the knowledge you need by checking out this latest entry in the Russ Belville Show's Reformer's Reader.
Welcome back, everyone. 31 after the hour, and today in Reformer's Reader, we're going to be talking about the new book. It's entitled Green, The First 12 Months of Modern American Marijuana Reform. It's a novel memoir by Marguerite Arnold, who joins us today, tonight, from Germany. Marguerite, welcome to the show.
Danke. Hallo, alles. Thank you very much for having me on.
Vielen Dank und guten Abend. Wie viel Uhr ist es?
Es ist spät. It's half past 11.
Ah.
So your German is very good. I have the urge to say Gesundheit after you speak.
It's the remnants of a few brain cells left over from high school sophomore year. I took a semester of German, and I can ask you what time it is, where's the bathroom, how much is the beer, you know, the important things in life.
You bet, and the Germans just love that. It's an incredible country. I really love it.
Let's talk a little bit about your voyage to Germany, because I was reading in the introduction to Green, the memoir that you've written here, that you left the United States for Germany partially because of the way that we treat cannabis and the people who use it. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Sure. And I found myself in a boat that many people, I think, are in. I'm Generation X. You know, I'd worked for many years in the United States, and I got sick. And then once I had gotten into a program and I was starting to get better, and I'd finally fought for Marinol, which was difficult. This was 2007, 2008. I started to get better, and then I couldn't get a job. And then I got a job, and I got some money. I thought, I actually was credited for helping to win a federal grant in North Carolina. And they used the fact that I was using, at this point, a Schedule III drug to not pay me, you know, and take a year's worth of my work for free. And I had, you know, that was like the end of a long period of just having to deal with this on a level that I just couldn't deal with anymore. I was starving, and I was very lucky. A family member finally loaned me some money and got me out of the country. And I've been here for 2 years, almost 2 years. And I'm sorry that I feel this way. I don't want to sound anti-American. It's very positive. I love Germany. But at the same time, I'm very aware of the fact that this is something I gave up, if you want to say that, in the United States. And I moved to a country where it looks like there's going to be real reform next year. And the difference is huge. That said, the reason I wrote the book and the reason I continue to speak out on these issues, and it was very lucky in terms of getting a job to cover the market as a reporter, is because these are issues that a lot of Americans face right now. And I wanted to add my voice to the many that are now pushing forward on reform.
You know, as you observe this happening from afar, as it were, unfolding in Colorado and Washington State, did having that distance provide you with some perspective maybe that we lacked or got too carried away with here in the States?
Well, you know, I hope so. It certainly felt like it was easier to write about it here. It's also a wonderful experience to write about something that the Germans... I mean, first of all, the Germans think it's barbaric that large sections of any population doesn't have health care. That's the perspective here.
Yeah.
The second thing is, you know, obviously it is a very different proposition here. They are not, they are considering legalizing it next year for everybody and putting it under national health insurance. It's not that they don't want to, the 2 billion euro in money that that's going to bring in from other taxes, but you're not seeing the kinds of silly season, for lack of a better reason, going on in terms of the tax debate and some of the other larger meta debates that are going on in America. And that's one of the reasons why I do hold up Colorado and I do hold up Washington State as, you know, this is, it's one, you know, and as I say in the book, it's terrific that these two states have taken the steps that they have. Now we have crossed the border of legalization, though. What does legalization really mean? And how do we go about doing that? And one of the people, like I cite you actually in the book, I call it a novel memoir, but it really is, it's a political book. And it reads kind of like a memoir. I try to put in some humor, but, you know, I mean, one of the things that I think many advocates, yourself included, have talked about, especially over the last year, is some of the sillier political debates that we're now seeing going on to try and parse this decision. You know, in Washington State right now, there really is a proposal to tax everybody who uses THC, including medical users, at 37% at the cash register. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's not what the advocacy movement was about. So that's really why I took this opportunity from a different perspective, from a very pro-legalization perspective, but maybe a little bit, you know, as you said, outside of the American debate, to look at these issues within the meta issue, within the meta, you know, overall Uber reform that's going on globally right now. And it really is.
The book is Green, The First 12 Months of Modern American Marijuana Reform. We're speaking with Marguerite Arnold. She is the author. And Marguerite, if people want to get a hold of this book, where can they find it online?
Well, it's really cool. I'm participating in this wonderful ebook program by Smashwords. They're an ebook distributor, so people can either go to Smashwords directly and buy it from them, or they can find it in the Apple Store. It's going to be available in Amazon in about a week. So you can buy it now, actually, at a special discounted price, and for $2.99. And I'll have ongoing discounts and specials, but it will be downloadable as of Monday next week.
It's an excellent read. I got my advanced PDF copy, and I was struck at first by your personal story in the introduction, and then this remarkable timeline that you've laid out that even, you know, I didn't even consider, like the Treaty of Versailles point that you make at 1917, and how that was one of the turning points in how the nations were dealing with drugs and cannabis and so forth. And also you detail, it's the book is 12 chapters, one for each month of the first year of legalization. And you write how that provided kind of a microcosm of the entire history and the debate had gone on about cannabis. Can you tie that together for us, how the first year of market legalization was a microcosm of the whole marijuana debate in general?
Well, I will try. I mean, as I think I started, I wanted to write about this for a long time. And it was about June last year that when the silly season opened up on the Hill about DEA funding, that I said, you know, this is a book. And as I sat down to start to write it, there were certain events that had happened during the course of the year that just made it very easy to start to discuss some of these things. So, for example, chapter one is called Rocky Mountain High, and it starts off in January with market start, because that's easy. But I also wanted to show what legalization in Colorado really meant, because I think that is really the only full legal medical market, medical and recreational market model that is existent and functional in the United States today. No matter what they say in Washington, that is not really a legal market. it's the idea of taxing a part of the whole medical aspect and shoving it back into another world is pretty awful. But anyway, so the idea, though, was to take these ideas, these calendar events that happened, and tie them into the Uber history of reform. So in January, I talk about Colorado, I talk about market start, but I also talk about some of the things that a lot of people in the reform movement were talking about as well, some of the things that Colorado kind of pushed off the table. And then I bring in the other issues, the history behind that. For example, in June, I talk about the politics on the Hill, because that's really when the blowback from the DEA vote happened. So I use actual real events that happened last year within the broader issues of reform. I talk about federal law. I spend a whole chapter. I interviewed some of the leading companies in this space last year. They're wonderful people. So I spend one whole chapter talking about some of the entrepreneurial issues that all of these companies not only faced but overcame. And that's what I mean when I talk about, I use actual triggering events of the year to then lift the debate up into the sort of meta level and talk about these broader debates.
We're speaking with Marguerite Arnold. She's the author of Green, The First 12 Months of Modern American Marijuana Reform. And did you, when you were saying that, was it Smash Words or Smash Works?
It's Smash Words. It's smashwords.com. They're an ebook distributor, and it makes it really simple. You can upload your manuscript and your cover art, and they distribute to all the major ebook online sites that most people go and buy books from. So Kobo and Amazon, iTunes. It's an amazing program.
That's fantastic. Now, of course, the other thing that happened in 2014 that's near and dear to my heart was my home state of Oregon and also Alaska and Washington, D.C. to some extent, passing marijuana legalization. Is there a plan for a follow-up? Because I think 2015 is at least here in Oregon, is one of the most tumultuous years, even so far, that I've been a part of.
I absolutely agree. Actually, it's a series called Green Uber Alles. this year is absolutely going to be momentous, starting with what's going on the Hill today. You know, they've Cory Booker and Rand Paul, along with, you know, the help of Americans for Safe Access, which is an incredible one of the more active and incredible reform groups, have introduced some interesting legislation on the Hill to allow the medical movement to go forward. But to your point, I think that the state model that's in play in Oregon actually has one of the most interesting promises for really, you know, teasing out some of these bigger issues. What is fair to tax the different communities? What is going to be used with the tax, with that tax that tax money gathered? Are local municipalities allowed to add on basically what's, you know, turning into legal graft in many states, starting in Illinois, for example, on the medical community? And those are questions I think that Oregon in particular is extremely well set up to handle. And yes, to answer your question, it is going to be a series, at least through 2016, because I think that this is the most important political litmus test that faces every single national candidate, starting with the two presidential candidates, whoever those are.
Well, now that's an interesting point, and I want to elaborate on that a little bit. You say that, because I claim the same thing. I'm wondering, what's your perspective on why you think this is one of, and should be one of the biggest issues in the campaigns?
Well, first of all, you know, the Iowa Board of Pharmacy has just changed the state classification of hemp, at least, to a Schedule II drug.
Yeah.
So, you know, given the impact of the Iowa caucuses and ethanol politics in the state, that is going to be a question that's going to be lobbed at every single presidential candidate once the silly season for presidential, the presidential season really gets underway. Second of all, as I discuss in the book, and I am very, very hard on those people that I suspect are going to be lining up for certainly the national presidential race, and they are right now, because they have been in politics for a long time, and there's absolutely no excuse for what we are still hearing people say. And I'm going to be direct about Hillary Clinton. You know, as I discuss in the book, this is somebody who has been, she's a former first lady. She's a former senator from New York, which has a very large Jewish population. She's a former secretary of state. And she doesn't know that there's all this research that American tax dollars have paid for in Israel. She doesn't know that on medical cannabis. She wants to delay forward motion in the United States because she thinks that more research, more American research is needed. Why is that? She's not aware of those things? Why not? Why aren't those questions being posed to her in that way, as opposed to, say, Christian Amanpour throwing her a softball question about whether she's ever smoked pot? You know? Sorry. At this point, having watched and been a part of the medical marijuana movement for many, many years, starting with watching many of my gay friends die, I'm tired of it. And I think that at this point, it is definitely the right time to make that statement. And there is an opening, thanks to the work of literally hundreds and thousands of, if not millions of people. This is a bottom-up movement. Let's take it, you know, be the change. And now is the time to make that statement and push it forward.
Oh, so well spoken. Thank you so much, Marguerite Arnold, for writing this book. And just for your personal story, too, is just very compelling. I encourage everyone to go out to smashwords.com and get the book. We've got the link up in our chat room, thanks to Gothic Prophet, who's already ran out and bought a copy for himself. Marguerite, thank you so much for joining us here on the show. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. And like I said, we're going to be running all sorts of cool discounts and promotions. And get in touch with me. Thank you very much for having me on the show. And good luck.
Oh, yes.
Take care.
All right. Thank you, Marguerite Arnold, everyone. And get that book at smashwords.com. 85% of the proceeds go to the author. And I may have just found the outlet for my book. That sounds like a good deal to me. We're back with a radical rant right after the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Statistics show that 40% of all kids who smoke marijuana live in the city. Guess where the other 60% live?
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
And one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And today for the Radical Rant, I am going back to the prime story of the day about the senators who have unveiled the federal medical marijuana bill. Reschedules marijuana down to Schedule 2, would allow transport of CBD oil across the states, would allow banking for medical marijuana industries, would reform the National Institutes of Drug Abuse to actually study marijuana's benefits, and allow VA doctors and medical marijuana states to recommend medical cannabis use. Now, as is the need in the big media, they have to get a pro and an anti viewpoint. And it's getting increasingly difficult to find an anti-medical marijuana viewpoint in America, given that about 90% of the American people support medical marijuana. But you can always count on our good friend Kevin Sabet from Project Sam, Smart Approaches to Marijuana Use Except Legalization. Sorry, Project Samuel, it should be called. He said by an email to the Washington Post, quote, "It's like using a sledgehammer to crack a nut. Why not start work with scientists to incentivize research rather than open the floodgates to big marijuana? Most major medical organizations oppose smoked pot as medicine because the risks outweigh any benefits. This bill just isn't supported by the science, plain and simple." End quote. Oh, silly Mr. Sabet. Let's slap this one around a little bit. Okay, first of all, why not work with scientists to incentivize... Start work! Let's start work with scientists to incentivize research. Let's start that work. I'm so sorry about your four-year-old who's having the 100 seizures a day and could die from them any day. We're going to start work to incentivize research. Let's get around to some research. Let's actually finally have some research since, you know, those 19,000-20,000 peer-reviewed studies in the National Institute of Health PubMed database apparently don't mean jack squat. Let's start incentivizing research. Don't worry, your four-year-old will be fine until then. And we're worried about opening the floodgates to big marijuana. This is the only boogeyman Kevin Sabet has left. This is it. This is his Waterloo, I'm telling you folks, is trying to make Americans afraid of capitalism. Good luck with that, Kev. Good luck. Big marijuana. Well, first of all, the problem with the big marijuana scare is that big marijuana already exists. Marijuana is the second most used psychoactive substance in the United States, second only to big alcohol. Funny how he never tries to scare us with big alcohol. Far more people drink alcohol than smoke cigarettes. And yet he always goes to big tobacco as the scare. Alcohol causes far more damage to other people than do cigarettes. Nobody's afraid of a cigarette-smoking driver. Nobody's afraid that someone's going to smoke cigarettes and beat their spouse in an elevator. No, we're afraid of the drinking drivers and the violent drunks. So why not a scare about big alcohol? Never seem to hear that scare about big alcohol, what big alcohol is going to do. It's always big tobacco and big marijuana. Well, let's get to that big marijuana because the big marijuana currently exists. Did you see that video from Arizona? We showed it on the show yesterday. You may have seen it in your Facebook feeds. Got a million billion viral hits. I almost sound like an old guy when I say shit like that. But I got a million hits out there of the guys throwing bales of weed out of the car. Bales of it. Bales, folks. That's big marijuana. That's what big marijuana brings you. I can't remember the last time I saw a Budweiser truck chucking off kegs of beer being chased by the cops. Never seen that happen. Never seen a truck chucking out cartons of Marlboros. Well, now that could happen if it's a van that's smuggling the low-tax ones to New York, but I digress. This big marijuana we're supposed to be scared of is what we're trying to replace, you see? And the thing is, Kevin Sabet will never give you what big marijuana actually is. What is it? Can you define it? How big is big marijuana? Is big marijuana like multinational corporations controlling marijuana? Or is it just state-level corporations controlling marijuana? You know, because right now, that's pretty much what's going on as far as the states go, because it's federally illegal, right? I mean, yeah, Dixie Elixirs or River Rock Dispensary in Colorado, yeah, they're big companies, but are they big marijuana? How big is big marijuana? Because if you could give us a number, we could put out some proposals that would be below that number, right? See, Kevin Smith keeps trying to say that it's not an either or. There's a smart middle ground, that it's neither legalization nor prohibition. There's a smart middle way. And I agree with that to an extent. There is this wide spectrum of things we could do about marijuana. We could have the Spanish model, right? You can grow marijuana, you can smoke marijuana, you can possess marijuana, and you can form little social clubs to cultivate it collectively and share in the expenses. There are no big marijuana in Spain. There are no big corporations that are putting it on billboards in Spain. Can we have that? How about the Amsterdam commercial model, right? Where we have a retail storefront for small amounts, limited to 500 kilograms or 500 grams of stock, with no advertising. You have to, push button to get the menu. It's pull advertising, not push advertising, right? You have to request the advertising. It can't be pushed on you. Would that not be big marijuana, Kevin? Could we go with that? There's all sorts of ideas. You got Washington, D.C.'s Grow and Give system. I asked Kevin Sabet face to face in La Grande, Oregon, what do you think of Washington, D.C.'s legalization then? There's no big marijuana in that. It allows people to grow their own marijuana at home, possess it, and gift it to one another for no remuneration. There's no storefronts. There's no commercial grows. There's no processing, manufacturing, or testing facilities. What do you think of that legalization? And he said he didn't support it. He was against it because, they're just trying to get that legalization, because then after that, they want to legalize and have commercial stuff. Oh, okay. So we can't even take a middle ground step in Kevin's world, because it turns into Zeno's paradox in reverse, right? Any middle ground step we take is just going to lead to the next step out there. I may have blown that Zeno's paradox thing, but work with me on this one. And this thing about most major medical organizations oppose smoked pot as medicine because the risks outweigh any benefits. A lot of the people that are using marijuana as medicine are not smoking it. They're vaporizing it, or they're eating it, or they're using a tincture. For God's sakes, those four-year-olds with the seizures aren't rolling up a blunt and puffing on the stoop, right? These kids are getting a drop or two of CBD oil on a cookie or something. But he has to bring up that smoking because, again, that's the framing. Oh, smoking is bad, evil, smoked pot. Smoked pot is awful. Well, let me tell you what some of the major medical organizations actually have to say about this issue. Because remember, part of what the bill is doing is reducing the schedule from Schedule 1 to Schedule 2 for marijuana. The American Medical Association has recommended that marijuana's status as a federal Schedule 1 controlled substance be reviewed with the goal of facilitating the conduct of clinical research and development of cannabinoid-based medicines. The American Cancer Society believes that the classification of marijuana as a Schedule 1 controlled substance by the USDEA imposes numerous conditions on researchers and deters scientific study of cannabinoids. It calls for federal officials to examine options consistent with federal law for enabling more scientific study on marijuana. And the American Academy of Pediatrics has explicitly called for moving marijuana from Schedule 1 to Schedule 2. So this whole idea of it being a sledgehammer to crack a nut, when point one, the rescheduling, is something supported by the major medical organizations you claim hate medical marijuana, the number two option, allowing the CBD transport between the states, of course, CBD not being a psychoactive substance in any way. Number three, allowing banks to provide service. Well, gee, Kevin, you want these businesses to be cash only? You want them to be victims of ripoffs? That's what you want to see happen? Getting the National Institute on Drug Abuse to change so that it will actually allow research to find out what's good about marijuana? You're opposed to that. You're opposed to discovering what's good about marijuana. The only kind of research you want to support is that which finds out what's bad about it. Well, that kind of bankrupts your position, doesn't it? And not allow doctors in the VA to recommend medical marijuana to soldiers is just cruel. All right, folks, that's all the time we got for hour one. But stay tuned for hour two. Toker Talk Radio is coming up next. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111 and continue talking about the news of the day. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.